a lawsuit over a Lake Erie wind turbine. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. Two birding groups have filed suit to block the Ohio National Guard from building a commercial-scale wind turbine along the shore of western Lake Erie. Julie Grant reports.
The American Bird Conservancy and the Black Swamp Bird Observatory of Ohio filed suit in U.S. District Court in Washington. They say the Ohio Air National Guard's wind turbine project at Camp Perry, less than a mile from the Lake Erie shoreline, has already violated the Endangered Species Act and other environmental regulations.
They actually built the foundation for this turbine before they'd even gotten a biological opinion from the Fish and Wildlife Service, which is illegal.
Michael Hutchins of the American Bird Conservancy says the Ohio National Guard spent $200,000 of taxpayer money to build that foundation. The total turbine project is expected to cost $1.5 million. The lawsuit also claims the project did not properly consider the proximity of numerous bald eagle nests or the likelihood that the turbine will kill migratory birds.
They don't have to build a turbine that close to Lake Erie, which is one of the greatest confluences of migratory birds and bats in the world.
The Ohio National Guard declined to comment while the lawsuit is pending. For the Environment Report, I'm Julie Grant.
This is the Environment Report. Fish consumption advisories usually focus on one chemical at a time, like mercury, and these advisories tell you how much of each kind of fish you should eat and what to avoid. But they don't often tell you much about mixtures of different chemicals in the environment. Ken Droulard is a professor at the Great Lakes Institute for Environmental Research at the University of Windsor. He's an author of a new study that looks at chemical mixtures and fish advisories. Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
Do fish advisories go far enough when it comes to mixtures of chemicals in the Great Lakes?
Well, I think generally the fish consumption advice tries to put in the state of the art in terms of what we know about the toxicology of these contaminants and how to best reduce health impacts through the consumption of the sport fish. The approach that we took in this paper was to say, what if all of the different chemicals themselves were considered a mixture, and what would be the total number of meals if we assumed that each of those chemicals was contributing to an additive toxicity?
And when you say meals, you mean number of meals of fish that a person has?
Number of meals of fish, yes. When we considered the multiple chemical method, about 50% of the advisories would drop by one sort of meal increment criteria.
And so would you recommend any changes to the way that people make these advisories?
I think the biggest sets of changes would be making the existing fish advice information more accessible to the wider public. And we see in some cases, for example, in Great Lakes areas of concerns, we have Michigan and we have Ontario that are posting signs of basically allowable meals. Local shoreline fishers, for example, they can see those advisories posted right in the same areas that they're fishing. I think when it comes down to the actual advice given, our approach is suggesting maybe we should be a little bit more conservative in how we suggest the allowable number of meals. But I also think it probably takes a little bit more research to validate whether or not our approach versus the single contaminant approach is the most effective and protective measures.
Ken Droulard is a professor at the Great Lakes Institute for Environmental Research at the University of Windsor. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.